Florida Democrat Kathy Castor opened the hearing at the House Select Committee on Climate Crisis, reminding lawmakers of what's at stake for Americans in a climate emergency.
We're behind. We're late. And we're running out of time to limit warming and avoid catastrophic impacts and rising costs. And unless we dramatically ramp up our efforts to expand clean energy and reduce heat-trapping pollution, the consequences will be bleak.
Representative Castor's warning comes after a new report released by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change claiming that emissions will have to peak by 2025 in order to keep global warming under 1.5 degrees Celsius, that's 2.7 degrees Fahrenheit. If this target is not met, the world can expect to see major disruptions to natural systems, including increased sea level rise, flooding, drought, fires, and other unprecedented weather events. The necessary decreases would require a complete reversal of current trends of increasing emissions in the transportation sector. But recent advances in electric vehicles and other green technology may provide opportunities to meet this challenge. Sarah Baldwin, the Director of Electrification Policy for Energy Innovation, testified with models indicating that a combination of electrification and a clean carbon-free grid could be the most cost-effective way to reach net zero emissions by 2050.
Our modeling shows that strong policies would, by 2050, increase gross domestic product by $920 billion, create more than 5 million new job years, avoid more than 45,000 premature deaths, and 1.3 million asthma attacks annually. We already have the technologies we need to start electrifying more end uses, and we don't have to wait for a breakthrough or an unproven costly alternative to be viable. However, ensuring a wide range of available models and products and a trained workforce to support widespread electrification in an equitable manner requires policy to remove barriers to uptake and enable mainstream adoption.
Baldwin and other electrification advocates stress the importance of federal policy to encourage consumers to make green choices. But Republicans stonewalled the conversation with repeated promotions of natural gas instead. Representative Garrett Graves of Louisiana questioned the effectiveness of an American climate change intervention in the absence of international cooperation, citing tensions with both Russia and China.
China has increased emissions 4 tons for every 1 ton of emissions we've reduced. That's moving in the wrong direction globally, yet we're sitting here talking about spending not millions, not hundreds of millions, not billions, tens of billions and hundreds of billions of dollars to try to save the planet whenever we've got other international actors that don't care.
Graves advocated for maintaining consumer choice, particularly in terms of access to natural gas, as an alternative energy source for the time being. Natural gas came up repeatedly as a cleaner alternative to traditional fossil fuels and a cheaper alternative to the expensive upfront costs of electrification. Democrat Representative Joe Neguse of Colorado was quick to point out that existing natural gas subsidies are a large part of the cheapness associated with natural gas.
Call it $10 billion, call it $11 billion a year over the course of 10 years, $100 billion that we are spending to subsidize natural gas here in the United States. I think that is an important part of the equation when you consider the upfront costs that you've described regarding the electrification of appliances in the United States. And I think that's important to keep in mind.
Republican lawmakers also cited infrastructure deficiencies as a reason to advocate for natural gas where other greener options are not as readily available. Particularly in impoverished and rural areas, shifts to electric appliances can be burdensome to consumers. Darnell Johnson, CEO of the Urban Efficiency Group, responded to these concerns, framing it as an investment in equity.
When you're trying to address the needs of communities that have been traditionally left behind, it's going to require investments larger up front to get many of those communities on pace.
With no specific proposed legislation discussed during the hearings, future initiatives could instead be a part of budget reconciliation discussions in the summer. I'm Ellie Prickett-Morgan, reporting for KPFA.